Also, one of our contestants, Jesse Jones, who's on the show every show, released a book called Deep Cuts, and it's about 3 years of his best stuff from this show, and it's really funny, and we'll have that available after the show if you want to pick that up. How much are you selling it for, Jesse? Free? $10? $10? So it's very, very funny. And it's really weird to hold this thing, actually. All right, you ready?
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned 4 specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience.
That's you.
In a show called Stab.
Oh my God, the excitement in this room. I shouldn't Stab. Be sitting down. Thank you guys for coming to Stab here at the Sacramento Comedy Spot. Are you ready to meet your contestants?
Stab.
Wonderful, wonderful. Welcome to the stage, the very lovely Mr. Christopher Emery.
Stab.
Christopher Charles Emery. I don't know if that's your middle name. Welcome.
I have 3 middle names.
All right, we'll get to that. Next, we've got Mr. Court Hansen. Court Hansen. And the guy I mentioned earlier who just released a book called Deep Cuts Volume 1. Please welcome to the very lovely, beautiful Jesse Jones. Jesse Babyface Jones. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Welcome.
Hey, what's up?
You like that fade?
Ooh,
okay.
It's professional.
Chris Emery, yes. How are you?
I'm great. I have 3 middle names.
You have 3.
You said we get back to it.
You don't say. You're really horny to get those 3 middle names out.
Oh,
you?
I fucking love it. It gets me off so much when I say it.
Chris.
Yeah.
What are those 3 middle names?
Alan Raymond Richard Emery is my last name.
Curry. How's it? Christopher.
Alan. Raymond. Richard. Emery.
I was just car.
Car. Or care.
Care.
Carre. Is that Spanish for car?
Yeah, you got to roll
carre.
Well, thank you, Chris, for being here. This is your 3rd, 4th, 17th time on the show?
4th.
4th. Well, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
4th time.
That's so good to have you here. Thanks.
All right. Well, this next guy, this is the first time ever on anything. Ever. On Stab, I don't know. He's done a lot of stuff around here, improv and other podcasts that aren't ours that we probably should listen to and support each other. Synergy. Court Hansen. Let's hear it for Court Hansen.
Yeah.
Court.
Thanks. Thank you.
Court, how many middle names do you have?
One. It's Court. Court is my middle name.
Oh, Court is your middle name.
Yeah.
Is your first name order in the...
No, it's not. It's Jerry, which is my dad's name.
Jerry Court. That does sound like Gerald Court?
Just Jerry.
What's his middle name?
Blaine.
Ooh.
Which is his dad's name.
Wow, that's
yeah, I lucked
confusing.
Out. I got a weird middle name too, but at least it's not Blaine.
I don't know. It's pretty good. I don't know you that well enough to like joke around.
No, it's okay.
Okay, that's a really dumb name. I'm kidding. I like it. Mine's Morris. So, yeah, there we go. See, not funny. You have a funnier middle name than I do. Court. Okay. Hansen.
Yeah.
Are you related? You know Hansen? They just released a new album.
I didn't know that.
And it's really. I only heard one song. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those kids are adorable.
Yeah, there's 40-year-old kids.
They're 40-year-old kids, right? All right. Well, thank you for being here. First time.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're going to be great. You're welcome. All right. Jesse Jones.
Hey.
Hi.
Woo. Oh, that is not necessary.
Jesse Jones.
Hey.
Thanks for being here.
Sure.
How does this feel to make a book? Is it your first book?
I mean, like, technically that I didn't like hand draw and staple.
Okay, good. Well, this is perfect. You guys, he made a book with a spine on it. You can go on Amazon and get one.
It's true.
A digital copy. Is that
Amazon?
How
they, you can get it for Kindle or a paperback.
So how many prompts are in here that you wrote?
There's 100 prompts.
100 prompts.
A solid hundo.
Oh, wow. Well, that's very good. I can't wait to read it and hear it again. Yeah, no, party time. And are you guys ready to play Stab?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna push this button really quick. Ooh. Chris Emery.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this one's for all of you guys. But I want you to go first. It's the primary question. Did you know that Otis Redding recorded Sitting on the Dock of the Bay 2 days before dying in a plane crash? He never got to enjoy, you know, the fruits of that labor. So how about a few new Sitting on the Dock of the Bay lyrics from the dead Otis Redding? You know, start where whatever point of the song you'd like.
Okay, I chose the end of the song.
Okay. All right.
Are we supposed to sing it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, good thing I'm a well-known singer in the area.
All right.
Okay. Looks like my body's gonna change. Sure glad someone found my remains. My lungs and heart don't work anymore. The blood's all dried up in these veins. So, sitting here turning to bones. And these worms won't leave me alone. Listen. Rigor mortis got me like stone. And this pine box is now my home. Oh, I just pissed and shit my pants in the grave. As my sphincter and bladder give way. Oh, pissed and shit my pants in the grave. 'Cause I'm dead, dead.
Very good. I'm sure. I like how you looked at the paper through the hole.
I had it written. No, I'm just saying.
That was wonderful. I'm sure that the recording of this maxed out the whole time.
Those were fart sounds.
Those were. Very good. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate that. Court, how about some lyrics from Sitting on the Dock of the Bay?
So mine kind of gets freeform with the rhyme scheme. but I think that the message will still be clear.
Great.
Goes, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. See, I don't know how the song goes outside of that main line. My body is decaying away. But my spirit is trapped on earth. Sitting on the dock of the bay. Oh God, oh God, why can't I just be at peace? My spirit's trapped outside of time. All I know is loneliness. reliving my death but never dying. Sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I've seen what lies beyond the grave. There's no God to comfort you in the void.
Okay, good. Very good, Court. Very good. Oh, that was wonderful. Jesse Jones.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a lot of ground that hasn't been covered.
Right, yeah. I realized that after just now.
I'm sorry, where were we?
Otis Redding said the dog that would be dead.
So, of course, Otis Redding's plane crashed into Lake Monona in Wisconsin, which is sort of an important detail for my verses. So here it goes.
All right.
Floating here, soaking my bones, and the school of fish won't leave me alone. Stormy weather we chose to brave, just to make this my watery grave. Now I'll just float face down in this lake, wishing that flight I didn't take. Oh, floating here, bloated and drowned, decomposing. I can't whistle.
Okay. Very good. That was our primary question. There we go. I feel like that's not very loud. But here we go. This next segment is called This Was Today Once. Chris Emery. On this date, 1997, Marv Albert pleads innocent to charges of sexual assault. Also on this very date, 1930, Richard Drew invents masking tape. How did you choose to celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
Oh boy, what a great day. I usually start off my celebrations by chanting alleged sexual assailant Marv Albert's famous catchphrase, "No means yes!" Then, I head to the parking lot of a Curves gym with a PA, and I shout inappropriate sports-themed phrases at the ladies, such as, "Holy moly, those thighs are on fire!" And, "I want to take it to your hole." I don't do a very good Marv Albert impression, but that's...
It's all right.
After security runs me off, I get back home, but by now, I'm filled with sexual frustration and violent fantasies. So I light some candles and put on an old VHS of Marv Albert's zany sports bloopers. As soon as I'm fully erect, I grab a fresh roll of masking tape and start wrapping it around my rock-hard dick like a mummy. Once the roll is all used up, I start unraveling the dick tape. The slow peeling sends me into an erotic frenzy. The removal of the last strip of tape coincides with a thunderous deluge of an orgasm, plastering my VHS player with a coating of liquid hot jisms. And then I come do a couple comedy shows.
Okay. Very good. Chris Emery. Yes. Court Hansen, on this date, 1919, Charles Streit patents the pop-up toaster. Also on this very date, 1975, the worst motor vehicle disaster in the UK takes place as a bus full of elderly women plunges off Dibbles Bridge in Yorkshire, killing 38. How did you choose to celebrate the aforementioned events combined?
Well, I celebrate the way I do every year. I go out to the grazing patch where I select from my herd of grass-fed old women, and I just have in parentheses, humane. Once I've selected my gentleman's dozen, I bathe each old lady individually with a toothbrush and shave their heads to make them more aerodynamic. Once they are nice and shiny, I take two at a time and load them into my walk-in toaster. Two large trolls that I had imported from Norway, Sven Axbeard and Franklin Rodriguez, pull the lever down to activate the toaster. Then we wait. Once the old maids are a flaky brown, they are catapulted from the toaster straight into my large mouth, after which they are slowly digested. Yum.
Very good, Court. Very good. Very good. Jesse Jones, on this date, 1997, the first all-female team reaches the North Pole, 20 British women. Also on this very date, 1907, the bubonic plague breaks out in San Francisco. How did you choose to celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
Well, Jonathan, as I am now, as stated before, a wildly successful, independently published author of renown... Obviously, the next question on everyone's lips these days is, what will I do next? I've clearly conquered the world of publishing things I already wrote for a podcast 4 years ago. What literary mountain will I subsequently summit? Well, as it just so happens, today's events directly tie into my next book project. An amazing coincidence, I know! My many throngs of many fans who are real will not be surprised to hear that for my sophomore release, I thought I'd try my hand at a genre near and dear to my heart, feminist, speculative, historical science fiction. I know, cliche, sure, but it's a passion project of mine. So the story will follow a sexy group of 20 British mountaineers with various super sexy skill sets, as they travel through time, fighting sexy, infectious diseases, as the covert chrononaut team known as Time Battalion XX. You see, XX being a clever play on the roster of 20 women, wherein it represents both the sheer physical number of sexy members and, of course, female chromosomal pairing.
All right.
I high-fived myself for 6 straight minutes after coming up with that title. Time Battalion XX consists of a team leader, Gwendolyn Pinafore, karate expert, Beatrix Frumpendale, hacker, Poppy Dandershunt, escape artist, Maisie Dornan Buffin Huffendoon, cartographer, Minnie Dibblesbridge. Yeah, there's 20.
So you're on 5 now. 6? 6.
Strategist, Elsbeth Midgley on Twain. Master of Disguise, Virginia Tuttlefjord. Ex-con, Victoria Huffentoot. Bare Knuckle Prize Fighter, Diana Lorihorn. Linguist, Tessa Glostenhoople. Counterfeiter, Imogene Cransfordshire. It's at this point where I debate continuing. As I have probably reached halfway. Stunt woman, Catherine Bot Weasel Beetletin. Paratrooper, Sophie Tinselbing. Con artist, Lottie Vanderkuth. Financial backer, Amelia Goose Strangle. Getaway driver, Eleanor Quammers.
Whammers.
Yeah. Demolitions expert, Tilly Pemperguinea. I like subjecting you to all of this. Amateur psychic, Prudence Wimbletane. Meteorologist, Wendy Fogsworth Rinsenblatt. And loose cannon with nothing left to lose, Helen Queen Queen Queenie Queen Queenerson. So far, all I have is the title and the roster, but I mean, the rest is all just details.
Very good. That was, this was Today Once, which leads us to our next, one guy, Ben Rice, hitting his chest in the corner. Are you having a stroke or clapping? Thank you for being here, either way. Brings us to our next segment, the Topical Haiku Challenge. Welcome. God, this feels racist every time I do this. Okay. Gentlemen, please have written a haiku based on the following story. A 2-year-old girl died in the hospital this past week in Missouri after suffering head trauma caused by her father's love of doing wrestling moves on her. The 19-year-old mother and 24-year-old father of the dead little girl have both been arrested for concealing the causes when admitting her to the hospital. We're going to do one at a time. Chris, go ahead and start with your first haiku. And go.
This isn't part of my haiku, but that's a really fucked up story that you made us write about.
I agree.
All going to hell for it. I wrote three, but I didn't like it.
Yeah.
He's got her pinned down. The ref slides in. One, two, three. Three counts of murder.
Very good. Court Hansen, you're first.
I told my parents to listen to this. They were really excited to see what I've been up to. Diving from the ropes. A legend of the ring flies. Good thing it's fake, right?
Very good.
My first actually ties directly into Court's. It's titled Baby's Last Tombstone.
Second to last.
She said wrestling's fake. Daddy's pile driver just proves 2-year-olds are dumb.
It's true, guys. It's true. Okay. We'll go ahead and let you go with the second one.
Well, on the bright side, she died before getting gross cauliflower ears.
Court.
I'd like to ask you about your child's strange outfit. Cool lucha mask, though.
My second is titled, and still undisputed champion of the apartment. Mom holds up her arm, drops a third and final time. Shit. Call 911.
Chris.
Oh my. Do we have to?
Yeah.
Hey, pro-choice people. Suplexing a kid to death, more fun than abortion.
Oh, my. All right. God, okay.
What should we tell Doc? The ultimate dilemma. Hoo boy, we're white trash.
Very good.
My third and final is titled, Let Me Tell You Something, Mean Gene. What you gonna do when negligent parenting runs wild on your kid?
Oh my God. Very good. That was the topical haiku challenge. I wish we had more. Very good. Very good. Yeah, let him hear it. Oh.
Can I ask Troy to get me a drink after that one?
You may. Troy, can you get Chris Emery a drink? I don't know of what. All right.
Oh, what? He knows what I like. Cherry Rita.
All right. This brings us to our next segment. This next segment is called Reorganization. Please take the existing acronym. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? Today's acronym, WWF. WWF. In theme. What's last? Is that a real thing? Cherry Rita? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's Cherry Arita.
Cherry Arita. You already had... Oh, you already had one.
This is my fourth one.
Your fourth...
I'm vulnerable if anybody's looking.
So, what does WWF mean to you now?
Well, WWF is actually a thing. It stands for Worldwide Farts.
Okay.
And it's a subscription service that sends you a fart in a jar from another country once a month. So you can see what it's like to smell a fart from another country.
All right.
I feel that's like that's all really, I have.
Sounds like a real thing. Very good. Court, what does WWF mean to you?
So you guys see how I'm dressed and how young I look. So you guys know that like I know what like TTYL means or LOL. And so my WWF is one that the teens are actually using. And that's worst white friend. The WWF is well, we live in a multicultural society, so people of all backgrounds are hanging out with one another now, and it's great. But there's always one person who's the worst, and that person is almost guaranteed to be a white person. I can speak to that because I am one of those. So the point is, if you're looking at your circle of friends. And if they're like mine, they're mostly white. It's not on purpose. I'm digging myself in a hole here. The point is, you don't want to be the WWF. If you're looking around and you're like, which one here is the worst white friend? And you don't know who it is, then it's probably you.
Very good. Worst white friend.
Worst white friend.
Yeah. Yes. Back row. Really like that. Only... Jesse, what does WWF mean to you?
All right, well, before I get started, there's some audience participation in this one. When I point to the audience, I just need you to shout, yes, it's towards the end, so be ready for it. Watch for your cue.
In our current socio-political climate, it has never been more vital that we all come together as a single, thoughtful collective to fruitlessly struggle against forces that we have zero chance of affecting. No matter how great or small the cause, we must futilely rally our combined efforts to bring about absolutely no change for anyone, everywhere.
Now that is the wholly unconvincing rally cry of the self-defeatist political activism group WWF, or We Will Fail. Every idealistically realistic member of We Will Fail believes with their whole heart that when good people come together in the name of a righteous cause, there is nothing they can't not achieve. And so wherever there is injustice, corruption, or discrimination in the world, you will no doubt find a handful of sad-eyed members of the WWF carrying signs emblazoned with such powerful slogans as Peace First! Or at least in the top five, right guys? And you're probably not even reading this, are you? As they raise their meek voices in unison, chanting, is this important?
Yes!
Should something be done?
Yes!
Is my dad probably right when he says that we could really be channeling this energy more effectively in a way that might produce actual tangible results?
Yes!
Very good, Jesse. And Court and Chris. That is the end of reorganization. Feel the burn, guys. Feel the burn. Was that weird? That was weird. Thank you. Yes. This next segment is called Movie Makeup. Here are a few movie titles I made up for each of you. Please give a synopsis based off the provided titles. Chris, the title of the movie I gave you was Boo Boo Noo Noo Doo Doo Goo Goo Bam. Court, the name of the title of the movie I gave you was Excuse Me. And Jesse Jones, the title I gave you was Teddy and the Potato Skins. We're going to start with Chris Emery and Boo Boo Noo Noo Doo Doo Goo Goo Bam.
Coming to theaters this summer. This Missouri 2-year-old thought she was hot shit. That's until her dad found the strength to put her in her place.
No, I'm just kidding. That's not it. I wrote a different one.
Okay.
Okay, this is a real one. Okay.
He's made such movies as Dada and Baba Ducky. Now, from acclaimed baby filmmaker Colton comes Boo Boo Noo Noo Doo Doo Goo Goo Bam. The heartwarming tale of a spaghetti noodle who wanted more in life than just being swallowed. Follow the brave noodle as it defies its parents and chooses to get sucked up and out of a nostril. instead of conforming to the traditions of his family. Heidi Carlson from the Boston Globe says, "What the fuck is this? Did a baby make this movie?" Gene Shipley from Wired Magazine wrote, "I don't get it. Is this a thing now? Baby filmmakers?" Noah from Colton's daycare exclaimed, "I gots to make a poopy." Boo boo noo noo doo doo goo goo bam. The little pasta who took the road less traveled, and in doing so, united a nation. Coming straight to DVD and Blu-ray, rated R.
Very good, Chris Emery. Boo boo noo noo doo doo goo goo bam. Court, name of your movie is Excuse Me.
So recently, some underground film buffs, they uncovered a classic of 1970s pornography called Excuse Me. And there's three X's in the word excuse, as well as four U's, at least the way I remember it. So, Excuse Me is a, it's your classic 70s pornography, a lot of big hair, a lot all over. And it's about a flight attendant named Foxy Earholes, who is hearing impaired in one ear. She travels to exotic locations such as Istanbul or Tokyo or Glasgow. And she meets several nice men and women with whom she often has sex. Whenever she gets propositioned, usually on the airplane to these exotic locations, she responds with her catchphrase, which is, "Excuse me?" And everyone thinks like, "Oh, did you, oh, I'm sorry, did I insult you when I propositioned you for plane sex?" But no, she wasn't insulted, she just didn't hear them the first time. And so when she turns her head the other way, like George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, she hears more clearly what they're propositioning, and then they go on to make all sorts of hairy, sweaty love all over the globe. So it's going to be screening at a couple small film festivals, just try and build it up for a DVD re-release or a Blu-ray re-release even, because it has its fans. It's just hard to find.
Very good. Excuse me, Jesse Jones. The name of your movie makeup is Teddy and the Potato Skins. Teddy and the Potato Skins. Yep.
In a joint production between Quentin Tarantino and DreamWorks Animation, Teddy and the Potato Skins is an unflinching, near shot-for-shot 3D animated reimagining of Tarantino's film Inglourious Bastards, casting russet potatoes in the role of World War II Nazi soldiers. In one famous scene, Teddy, a grizzled, fudge-dipped soldier, addresses a ragtag group of untrained cookies as he readies them for an impending battle with the enemy. "My name is Lieutenant Teddy Graham, and I need 8 soldiers. 8 sugary, sweet cookie soldiers. We're going to be dropped in the pantry dressed as potato chips. Once we're in enemy territory as a sweet, chocolatey, cream-filled, frosted army, we're going to be doing one thing and one thing only. Killing taters." Now, I don't know about y'all, but I sure as hell didn't come down from the goddamn Keebler tree, cross 12 grocery store aisles to teach taters lessons in nutrition. Taters ain't got no nutrition. They starchy dirt worshipers, and they need to be destroyed. We will be cruel to the taters. And through our cruelty, they will know who we are. The tater will fear us. I got one word of warning for y'all. All you would-be snack attackers. When you join my shelf, you take on a debit. A debit you owe me personally. Each and every cookie under my command owes me 100 tater skins. And I want my skins. Teddy and the Potato Skins. Rated R for graphic peelings and salty language.
Very good. That was Movie Makeup. And it also brings us to our final category. Yeah.
Yay.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. How much was the show? $5? Okay. No, I don't know. Sorry. All right. This last segment is called Department of Tourism. Congrats, guys. You've all been hired as a director of tourism for the following places. Make us want to go there. Chris Emery, the name of your town is Silver Foxington. Silver Foxington.
Mm.
Let's go there.
Oh, yeah. Visit Silver Foxington, the town that celebrates all the wisdom and experience that comes with a head full of glistening gray hair. You'll love the dining in Silver Foxington, where every restaurant is a buffet, and dinner service starts promptly at 3 p.m. The luxury hotel rooms are equipped with urinals right next to the beds for those 4 or 5 times you'll need them in the middle of the night. Relax in our hot tubs filled with Bengay, where you can sip on bottomless Ensure and be as racist as you want. You've earned it. Looking for some fun? Then head on down to our Hall of Georges, where we celebrate some of the more famous Silver Fox Georges. Be stunned at the George Clooney Fountain, the George Hamilton Virtual Tanning Beds, and the George Washington Sitting Bench. Oh, feeling a bit naughty? Then partake in some of Silver Foxington's after-hours fun. Starting at 7 p.m., things get musty at the town's... Hold on. Starting at 7 p.m., things get musty at the town's number one strip club, Greybush. And don't worry, every purchase of admission comes with your choice of a Viagra or a Cialis, so the ladies can tell you're having a good time. But if old poon isn't your style, then hop in your golf cart and go down to the block to Silver Foxington's premier nightclub, Daddy Issues. Hordes of 20 and 30-somethings fill the dance floor with one thing on their mind, filling the emotional hole their neglectful fathers left by filling their physical holes with seasoned, well-traveled dick. So hobble on over to Silver Foxington, where age is just a number, and that number is always 69.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. We're almost there, Chris. We're almost there. Court, let me, your town is called You Ain't Shitville. You Ain't Shitville. Make us want to go to You Ain't Shitville.
What? You think you're better than me? Just because you got one or both of your eyeballs? Because the broads in your town ain't spliced with no frog DNA? Well, look at me. I'm from a town that doesn't spit in the face of God. Well, listen up. You ain't shit. Come on down the shore with us and take a look at our beautiful glue factory. We ain't even use no dog hoofs no more. You Ain't Shitville recently opened up its 7th, and then I have 4 exclamation points, Papa Johnny's Pizzeria. Now 5/7 rat-free. So catch the next Greyhound bus out of your bitch-ass town and don't get off till you hit the ends of the line. New Jersey, your rock bottom is our tourism industry.
Very good, Court Hansen. Very good. Jesse Jones, bring the show home with a town called Sun Your Buns Town. Sun Your Buns Town. Sun Your Buns Town.
All right. Almost there, everybody.
Hold on, hostages. You're good.
Halt! You are trespassing on the sovereign manicured grounds of Sun Your Buns Town, Sun Club and family-friendly nudist resort. Sun Your Buns Town is a clothing non-optional resort. And as such, you are hereby ordered by the high elders of Sun Your Buns Town to relinquish your contraband textiles currently in your possession or face summary pantsing. You have 60 seconds to comply. The residents of Sonya Bunstown reject the tyranny of puritanically mandated oppressive modesty garments, which for far too long have forcibly concealed our natural beautiful form from the loving gaze of Mother Nature herself. You have 45 seconds to comply. Sonya Bunstown offers a variety of invigorating recreational sports and activities, including swimming in any of our 6 heated indoor and outdoor pools. We also offer tennis, volleyball, and a state-of-the-art fitness center. If you're going to use any of the equipment in the fitness center, we do request that you bring with you a towel on which to sit while you work out in the fitness center. You have 30 seconds to comply. When night falls on Sonya Bunstown, that doesn't mean the fun is over. In fact, for many, it's just beginning. Enjoy one of our many steamy hot tubs, or dance the night away and mingle in the Lakeside Clubhouse. Karaoke contest every Saturday night. You have 15 seconds to comply. We are pleased you've seen things the Sonya Bunstown way. We are certain we have a membership level which will fit your financial needs. After your paperwork has been squared away and your payment confirmed, we invite you to the beach volleyball court where your former life's shame coverings will be burned, ceremonially releasing you from the trappings of your former itchy, constrictive existence. After which, you'll be given a songbook and a slip of paper. You have already been entered into the karaoke rotation.
Very good. That was Stab. One more time for all the contestants you saw. Chris Emery, Court Hansen, and Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones. If you want, buy one of these books. It goes to support Jesse's home life. I don't know. He'll be selling them after the show. If you want to hear more Stabs, visit one of our many online outlets. The primary of which being stabforgold.com, stab4gold.com. Find us on YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes. Leave a review. That's it. We're not sure where our next show will be, but we will have it on Facebook and at www.stabforgold. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.